105.7 Free FM.
That music, I think, tells the whole story. This is Penn Jillette with Michael Goudeau. We're in Las Vegas on the 4th of July. But it's a very special 4th of July because this is a 4th of July that happens to come in on a Monkey Tuesday. So we're very excited about that. You probably heard that the wonderful Mike Jones put together special music for today, and it's a very special day. This will be 11 years, right? When will a Monkey Tuesday again?
11 years
before we hear this music again. Monkey Tuesday. What could be better? In 11 years, right? So if we'll be on the air in 11 years. I'm 51 now. I'll be, 62. 62 years old. We could, still be here. Maybe not you, Jack. Maybe you won't be. You think I'll be fired or dead? Which do you think? Oh, Jack's gonna fire me before that. So that means that's even rarer and even more beautiful because this may be the only Tuesday of Monkeys that will ever fall on a 4th of July, unless generations in the future take on that that wonderful task. But we're going to take a lot of calls, 866-570-PEN, 7366. A lot of people have written in. We're just maggoty with patriotic monkey stories from Gmail that I'm going to read. And we're going to do all that today. But first, we're going to do something very odd. We've never done this in the show before. We're going to play a piece of music that will last over a minute. And it's a piece of music done specially by Mike Jones. You can hear more of his stuff on penradio.com. Mike Jones put together a little thing that's very, very patriotic. This is the Star Spangled Monkey Tuesday. Don't play it yet, though. I want to say first, this is part of the Star Spangled Banner. So I think wherever we are, please stand to your feet. We're gonna stand up here, and while we hear this, stand to your feet and then clutch whatever monkey you have, whether it be a live monkey or whether it be a toy monkey or whether it be an imaginary monkey or whether it be a part of your body that you refer to as your monkey. Just grasp your monkey and stand together with us as this very special patriotic Monkey Tuesday. Take it away, Mike Jones. Play with your monkeys. It's time for that now. Thank you so much for standing. That's a beautiful piece of music. That is just the finest piece of music ever. I didn't want to, you know, they were saying it's awfully long, you know, you should talk over to do something, but I think that had to be just held there really cool. 866-570-PEN, that's 7366. Got a few phone calls. Let's take one of them. Let's talk to Derek. Hey, Derek, what's up?
Hey, not much. How's it going?
Doing wonderfully here on this very patriotic Day of Monkeys. You got a patriotic monkey story for us?
It does involve fireworks.
Well, that's all you need. Fireworks and a monkey?
Yeah.
I call that patriotic monkey.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, when I was growing up, there was a family. They lived down the street, not too far from where I lived. They had two pets, a large dog and a medium-sized monkey. This particular family, they lived on a house with a corner lot, didn't have a really tall fence, so that meant if the monkey was outside, which it usually was, I don't think it liked to go inside, you didn't have to look too hard to see it.
Uh-huh. You think it didn't like to go inside?
What's that?
Maybe wow. They didn't like to have
man,
it inside.
Man, you're so kind.
Go on.
I don't know which what kind of monkey this was, but it was kind of a medium-sized monkey. One summer afternoon, it would have been about pretty much 20 years ago, about the same time of the year, about late June, I was...
20
years ago today!
That's the way to tell the story.
I got on my bike, I was going to ride down to the fireworks stand near my house, get some Crazy Jacks or some smoke bombs, had a couple bucks, so I was just going to start blowing stuff up early.
Sure.
Now, the route from my house to the stand would take me by the house where the monkey lived.
Uh-huh.
And as I rounded the corner and I could see the house, I could see about three or four kids looked like they were screwing with the monkey. And I'm thinking I should probably do something, except for how I was just a cowardly little fat kid and there was three of them. So instead of doing something about it, I crossed the street.
Sure.
Just get on the other side of the street, get away from it.
That's what a man does.
Sure, certainly.
Avoid fighting. Fighting is bad.
As I got closer, though, I realized they were lighting firecrackers, which happened to be illegal where I live, and they were throwing them at the monkey, blowing out, they're popping, bomb, boom, and the monkey's freaking out and chattering, and it's causing them great consternation, and they're laughing and having a great time.
Yeah. I think that might have been me and Goodell.
That may have been.
Yeah. 20 years ago,
yeah, that was us.
Yeah, as I pulled up about even across the street, I see one of them reach into his backpack, pulls out a tube of some sort, and then loads what I recognized as a bottle rocket, also illegal, lights it, points it at the monkey, and it goes off and flies at the monkey and blows up. And I guess that the monkey was used to being shouted at all those years living on the corner, and I guess also that he could handle a few taunts and little explosions, but yeah. The bottle rocket.
What's a firecracker to a monkey?
Yeah, what's that? But the bottle rocket, I guess its trajectory or the fact that it was spewing flame or the fact that the monkey had had enough, it really hit the monkey off. And as the kid looked down to get another rocket, the monkey jumped out of its perch, flew at him, jumped on his back, and just starts beating the hell out of him.
Oh, yeah! Yeah! Isn't payback a bitch?
Exactly. And so the kid panics, and he starts screaming, and he slips off the curb, and he falls into the road, and the monkey's just tearing at his clothes and scratching, yanking his hair, just beating the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And his buddies, loyalty being their strong suit, run like hell the other way.
Yeah, and the fat kid, you, watches it from across the street.
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting across the street just awestruck.
You had the sweetest day of your life.
It was
the sweetest day of your life.
Definitely top five.
Somehow the monkey was doing your will.
Exactly. And so the monkey's beating him, and a couple people have come out of their house. They hear the kids screaming, and we're all just watching it awestruck. And then almost as quickly as it started, the monkey calmed down, jumped off of him, jumped back onto his perch, and was happy as ever.
And no more hassle from those kids.
No. Well, and the couple of people that had come out ran back in their house to call 911, and so I scoot over there to see the damage.
Sure.
And the kid sees me, and he's pretty well roughed up. He's on the ground, and he's bleeding pretty good, and he's asking me for help, and so I looked around and made sure nobody was watching and grabbed his bag full of fireworks, gave the monkey a thumbs up, and got the hell out of it. And that was the best 4th of July ever.
Yes, you are a great man. That is fabulous. I mean, there's no monkey on the planet that wouldn't approve of every one of your actions. Just terrific. Just terrific. Go in for the spoils. A terrific, terrific story. Thank you so much, Derek. That's what I was hoping for from today. That's the perfect thing. Perfect
essential monkey.
You sent me here Tarzan and Renee, 4th of July. What
yeah,
is this here?
It's a little 4th of July story that happened with Rob and Renee here at your very home.
Oh, really?
It is.
And it's all just sent there. Okay. Should I just start reading this?
Go ahead.
I remember this. Yeah. This is from a friend of mine, Renee. We were at Penn's and Tarzan, that's the monkey that we had over here. We've told the story about Tarzan and the dwarf.
Old world.
The monkey and the dwarf. An old world monkey. We don't really want to talk too much about old world monkeys because this is the 4th of July and this is all the new world. So it's better to have monkeys with prehensile tails we want to talk about. Right?
He came from the cradle of civilizations.
Sure.
That could be patriotic.
Sure. We were at Penn and Tarzan's, and Tarzan was really lovey-dovey with me. But whenever Rob put his arm in the mix, Tarzan would start wrestling him. And then I'd put my arm in, and he'd snuggle with it. And then Rob would put his arm in, and Tarzan started biting him. Rob is her, my very good friend, and her husband. Not really hard, but, you know, chimp hard. Like, really chomping down on it.
Chimp hard.
He wouldn't stop. Later on, we saw Tarzan over by the hot tub just chugging down a bottle of sunblock that smelled like coconuts. He drank the entire bottle. I remember this. And that's what Rob had in his arm. Tarzan then puked up the sunblock and went and sat down. That's the story. I mean, the short version. Yeah, that was amazing. It was a bit of a mystery before that, because we couldn't understand why Tarzan was attacking Rob's arm so. It didn't seem like he was attacking it. He was kind of, you know, that bite was kind of a lick and stuff. And it was really nutty. And then we realized when he was drinking the sunblock, it was the coconut flavored.
Sucking the sunblock right off of Rob.
Right off his arm. And then drinking the bottle. And then we were worried he'd get sick. So it wasn't just puking up sunblock, but it was also reaching into his mouth and trying to wash it out in the pool. It was really, you know, I washed out a monkey's coconut sunblock puke into my pool. That's the kind of guy I am. So when you hear me maybe sounding like I'm laughing at horrible animal problems, that's the kind of guy I am. I will help clean monkey puke out of a mouth of a monkey into my pool. That's how much I care about it. We got a page. I'm just going to read these. There's so many Gmails. I haven't screened them beforehand. They're just flowing in, and I'm just going to read them kind of cold. This is just labeled Patriotic Monkey Story, and it's from Ken. Since I'm Canadian, wait a minute. What's a Canadian doing writing in? Do we have that piece of music? The other piece of music? Okay, lay it on us. We'll do this one then.
Jonesy's got too much time on his hands.
He sure does. That was O Canada with the monkey music. Since I'm Canadian, I don't have any American patriotic monkey stories of my own. But a friend. A bunch of them had gotten to, cut off the end of this. Okay, I'll just be able to fake it. A bunch of them had gotten together to celebrate the 4th of July, and they decided to make a chimp dress up as Uncle Sam. Everything was going great until they brought out the flag. Fireworks. It was fireworks, not flag. I just saw the first letter there. The first firework they set off were those tubes that shoot like glowing little flame balls into the air, I guess. He ran with the tube, yanked it out of the ground, and started waving it all over, just shooting as quickly as possible. Some of them tried to find the trainer, but he'd already ducked out. They were able to calm the animal down if the tube ran out of ammo, and it was safe to go in. The chimp was going crazy, shooting fireballs at everybody. Should be funny enough to contribute to Patriotic Monkey Story. This was bad, Godot, because it cuts off the margin. I was faking it. But anyways, it's a great story. Anyways, a monkey dressed as Uncle Sam. Monkey is dressed as Uncle Sam, and then he has fireworks in his hand, running around shooting him off at crazy. That's just wonderful. And that's from a guy from Canada, so we get to use...
We tried to get his friend to actually call in and tell the story herself, but apparently she was a little radio shy.
Oh, is that true?
That's true.
I would have loved that. I would have loved her.
You know, I tried. I know what my job is.
let me see. This is the story of Jocko Flocko.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is very American.
Very American. Good. I'll be ready to read this. This is cold for me. I haven't looked at this yet, so I'll be surprised along with you. Jocko Flocko was a rhesus monkey and remains the only known co-driver in NASCAR history.
See, how American can you be?
Nothing more patriotic than NASCAR. Nothing more patriotic. On May 16th, 1953, Jocko helped Tim win the Grand National Race at Hickory, North Carolina, becoming the only winning monkey to date. Unfortunately, Jocko was forced to retire from driving duties 2 weeks later in Raleigh, North Carolina. Tim Flock recalls the incident. This is Tim Flock was the driver.
Yeah.
And he would have a rhesus monkey in the cab with him while he was driving NASCAR and winning NASCAR.
Jocko
winning
Flocko, NASCAR. His co-driver.
Jocko Flocko. Okay. This is a quote from Tim Flock. I guess if you know NASCAR, you recognize
him. He's part of the family. Yeah, sure. It's actually part of a long history of NASCAR.
The Flock family.
The Flock family.
Yeah. But Tim was the Flock that had the monkey in the cab. And this is Tim talking here. This is all in quotes. I actually raced with a monkey, which I named Jocko Flocko, for 8 races in 1953. It started as a publicity stunt. Oh, really? And we gave him his own driving uniform and a specially designed seat. Back then, the cars had trap doors that we could all pull open with a chain to check our tire wear.
Wow.
Oh, man. NASCAR people are so crazy. Well, during the Raleigh 300, Jocko got loose from his seat and stuck his head through the trap door, and he went berserk. Listen, it was hard enough to drive those heavy old cars back then under normal circumstances, but with a crazed monkey clawing you at the same time, it became nearly impossible. I had to come into the pits to put him out and ended up third. The pit stop cost me second place and a $600 difference in my paycheck. Jocko was retired immediately. I had to get that monkey off my back.
Yeah. When he says retired, do you think he means retired?
Well, I think $600 in 1953 to a race car driver might be enough to snuff them up. Don't you think? I mean, there's no little story here about, and Jocko Flacco went on to live the rest of his life happily in a zoo.
He went on. Changed his name to Scatters.
moved in with Elvis. So there's a trap door in the back?
In the floor, on the passenger side, I think it was. You could pull it up and look under and see how your tires were doing.
So you'd be driving it. What are they doing, like 200 miles an hour?
Yeah, well, you know, 1950, probably 120.
No, they were going faster than that.
I don't know.
And they'd look out the back and look at the tires for wear while they're driving. That's all
they were
done,
cool guys, man.
By computers now or something?
Yeah.
How do they check the tires now?
You think I'm a NASCAR guy? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's the 4th of July. Isn't everybody a NASCAR guy?
Maybe
on the 4th of July?
Call it an answer.
I'm going to watch some NASCAR this afternoon.
Okay.
I really am, because it's the 4th of July. It seems like the least I can do for all this wonderful country's done for me is take part in it. It's the most popular sport, right?
I guess it is.
I mean, by leaps and bounds. I mean, baseball isn't even in the ballpark. see how that worked out?
That was
nice,
really nice.
That was very nice.
This story was sent to us by a Ringling Clown. Mike Heitman, yeah.
A friend of yours?
A friend of mine, yeah. Captain Mike Heitman sent us that story. So
Captain?
Thank you. Captain Mike, yeah.
He's called Captain Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. A safari park in Merseyside was urging patriotic football fans to remove England fans.
We should mention that this is not U.S. patriot.
Right, no. But okay. It's a different kind of patriotism.
Okay.
But on July 4th, that's when we kicked their ass. So this is celebrating the English losers.
We thought we'd bring it up just to rub it in.
We kicked their ass. We never want to forget
salt
that.
In the wound.
And they had the Beatles, but we had Elvis, okay? So, I mean, we had Bob Dylan, okay? We have Bob Dylan. We have all
they
the...
had Dylan really- Thomas? What are you going to say?
We had Bob Dylan. That's all I want to say. To remove England flags from their vehicles to stop gangs of baboons pinching them. Bosses at Knowsley Safari Park... I guess that's right, Knowsley Safari Park, say that the 120-strong troop of baboons usually swipe windscreen wipers but have turned to stealing World Cup flags instead. Safari Park General Manager David Ross said many people are wisely removing them before going on the safari drive. If they forget, the baboons usually take them. According to Mr. Ross, the baboons have built up quite a stash. He added, visitors are certainly enjoying their antics with the flag, as it does look like they are showing their support for the efforts of the England team. The baboons have always been great fun, but they are vandals. They are the vandals of the animal world. Our advice to England fans is to remove their flags before they arrive or use the alternate car-friendly route around the outside of Monkey Jungle. Good enough for them.
There were some
King
great.
George and the Rat Bastards. Steal their flags, pile them up. And as you all know, it's a very patriotic. Play us out with a really good one. Maybe a little longer than we need before commercial. A really long, good, patriotic Monkey Tuesday by Mike Jones.
You're bitching already. Now you can listen to 105.7 HFS anywhere, anytime. If you've got a computer, you've got HFS. Just go to WHFS.com and click on Listen Live. Tell everyone on your buddy list. HFS is plugged in and online at last. 105.7 HFS. Free FM.
Hey. Right now, if you post your resume on Monster.com, you're twice as likely to land the job you're looking for. Think about it. Every day, thousands of employers search Monster.com looking for talented, qualified people just like you. But the only way they're ever going to know you're out there is if you post your resume on Monster. So post it today, and you'll double your chances of finding the right job. Or better yet, having the right job find you. It's like raising your hand and saying, hey, pick me. Plus, with helpful tips and advice on everything from making the right impression during an interview to successful networking techniques, Monster.com is more than just a job site. It's your one-stop career resource center. So if you want to double your chances of finding the job that's right for you, go to Monster.com, post your resume, and get the job. Monster.com. Today's the day. Based on Comscore Networks Incorporated custom research 1005, showing that Monster users who posted a resume were twice as likely to get a job offer than Monster users who didn't post.
Spring is here. The temperatures are heating up.
And Apple Ford, Baltimore's number one Ford dealer, has a red-hot deal for you.
Take $11,000 off the MSRP on all new F-150 4x4 crew cabs in stock. Plus, only Apple Ford will make you a customer for life.
With many benefits, such as oil changes and tire rotations for life at no additional cost.
$11,000 off F-150 crew cabs and customer for life.
No other Ford dealer but Apple Ford in Columbia can offer you this.
But hurry, because with a deal this hot, these trucks won't last long.
We always treat you with respect, give you more than you expect. Here at Apple Ford, you're a customer for life. It's our guarantee.
Just off Route 175 in Snowden River Parkway.
Apple Ford.
Log on to appleford.com.
Offer applies to in-stock 2006 units only. All applicable Ford rebates are included and may require financing with Ford, plus taxes, tax, and A75 freight. Customer for life has stipulations.
Hi, this is Jerry Robbins of Robbins Delaware Diamonds in Delaware, home of tax-free shopping. Question. Guys, what did you give her last year for your anniversary? Flowers? Perfume? Huh? Do you even remember? This year you can make a really lasting impression with a gift neither of you will ever forget. A sparkling, three-stone diamond anniversary ring from Robbins Delaware Diamonds. The symbolism of the three-stone diamond anniversary ring is unique. One diamond represents the past, one for the present, and one for the future. The diamond in the center is larger than the other two, and that leaves you to contemplate. Does the larger diamond stand for the love you share today, or the joy that waits in the years ahead? Robbins Delaware Diamonds is offering these rings at affordable prices. So this year, here's a meaningful way to capture and reflect on the years you've spent together and look forward to the happy years ahead with a three-stone diamond anniversary ring from Robbins Delaware Diamonds in Delaware, home of tax-free shopping. It's just a short ride up I-95 to exit 4B at Churchman's Crossing right next to Borders Books.
All those other fools are hearing commercials. You're not. Sit tight. 105.7 HFS will be right back. Those other fools are hearing commercials. You're not. Sit tight. 105.7 HFS will be right back. Hearing commercials, here's something to dance to. Stick around. 105.7 HFS is on its way back.
Hey.
Gillette, 105.7 Free FM.
Yeah, that's the battle hymn of Monkey Tuesday. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PENradio@gmail.com. PENradio.com. It's a fabulous 4th of July. It is Independence Day. God damn it. And, Independence Day has, for the first time, during our run here on the radio, and for the first time in 11 years, it has come up on a Tuesday. So it's a very patriotic day of monkeys here on this Tuesday. We've heard some wonderful, wonderful calls. We've heard all about Jocko Flacco, who is a big hero to all of our monkey fans. I'm hoping people will, maybe the next Tuesday, we can talk a little bit more about that, because NASCAR people are going to write in and call in and stuff like that. We can get more information on that. I'm dying to hear more about that. And the big excitement also is that Monkey Tuesday. is now in Wikipedia. If you go to Wikipedia and look it up, it is there, and it's very, very exciting. I like Wikipedia. You know, people make fun of it, but now that it's got Monkey Tuesday in here, it's very, very important. Just so you know, Monkey Tuesday is the name given every Tuesday's episode of PEN Radio on Free FM. Callers ring and Gmail host Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau with stories about chimpanzees, orangutans, and other, quote, monkeys. Classic stories include Penn inviting a dwarf and a chimpanzee to the same party, and orangutan having a sexual thing, while watching a good-looking woman at a zoo, and a young man remarking, "Pops, they're so much like us," to his father, and a couple of young school teachers meeting romantically after one of them exclaimed, "Monkey Tuesday!" On a field trip. While when Penn Jillette or a caller says, "Monkey Tuesday," Happy Jack or Patrick, as of June 2006, must play the Monkey Tuesday. By Mike Jones. The music must not be played for Michael Goudeau. However, blunders are often made and these rules are not adhered to, often comically enraging Penn. Oh, yeah, when I'm upset, it's funny. To date, PEN Radio is the only radio show to dedicate a weekly episode to monkeys. On 4th of July 2006, there will be a special patriotic edition of...
That's today.
Monkey Tuesday! It's not only a patriotic day of monkeys, it is also, I believe, the best day in my life. You know, they talk about your children being born and how much that means to you, and yeah, that was great. But this is beyond great. Let's take a phone call.
Are you going to see fireworks tonight? You taking the kids to see fireworks?
Yeah, we might. Yeah, I think we might. Where are they going to be?
Everywhere. It's Vegas, baby.
Oh, yeah.
The Desert Breeze Park. That's
but don't they have, like, big rock concerts and stuff? And are they sponsored by some of your other stations or something there? Jack, good. You can get me in? Good. I think one year we did something at it on the stage or something. But I'll just go with the kids. They'll like. Does Joey like fireworks?
No, he's scared to death of the noise.
I thought he might not like
them.
He
loves looking at them, but he'll sit inside the house and watch out the windows.
I see. Or on video or something. It's a lot safer that way. Let's talk to Steve with his little monkey story you got there, Steve. You there, Steve?
Yeah, happy 4th of July, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. What's up?
This is the best day of your life because I'm about to offer you a $1 billion movie pitch.
Man.
Okay.
All right. So whether you choose accepting that is for you. But so
do
I
have to sign a release before we go any farther.
I am putting this on Free FM, so I'm going
to
stick it to myself. But so the story begins in the beginning of World War II, before the U.S. and Japan enter the war.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is the U.S. puts out an order to Japan for some army vehicles and weapons. And as we all know, things turned out with Japan and the U.S. Japan decides to send us miniature cars. So billions and billions of dollars are spent on these army vehicles by the U.S. And to avoid any show of incompetence, they decide to scour America to go to circuses and pick up monkeys and midgets to now operate these vehicles and Army weapons. So
is this going to be an Adam Sandler vehicle?
God hope not.
Okay.
I think this is probably more up a train Matt's alley.
Okay, good.
Anybody. So they go through their training or whatever, and it's funny, and then you skip right forward to the Vietnam War. Because things are.
So we're not going to skip then. With the World War II
midget. There's the time dissolve and we go from World War II to Vietnam?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
We have an edit with helicopter noise.
That's pretty much the only difference. Yeah. And it's Vietnam, so and the thing worked out during World War II, as we know, and we're dealing with hippies now, which pretty much look like monkeys. So the LSD and everything, so nobody knows what's going on with the monkeys and the midgets and what have you. And it's just potential for greatness, the brothel scene, with the monkeys and then the women, of course, because we know that. And we know that the monkeys and the midgets don't...
The monkeys, I mean, I just have to understand all the details here if we're going to make a movie. The monkeys have remained in the service for all these years.
Monkeys and the midgets have, in fact.
Right. And is this like a second-generation monkey?
Well, we can work. We can put a little sci-fi twist on it if we need to be.
So these are also ageless monkeys.
Ageless super monkeys.
Ageless
not descendants super monkeys. Of the World War II monkeys.
Now, are the monkeys? Are there some monkeys who are burning their monkey draft cards because they don't want to go to Vietnam? They thought that World War II was a just war, but Vietnam was not. That's where it's going?
That's what makes it funny.
Oh, I see. That's what makes it funny.
We go everywhere, all across the board with this. Burning bras, monkeys burning bras. And all that.
Stealing bras, burning bras. Okay, we're with you. Monkeys and bras is a good combination.
Absolutely. And midgets and hippies and government incompetence and all that.
Okay.
You can't go wrong.
Midgets and hippies and government incompetence and all that.
And I haven't told you the title yet.
Okay, I'm waiting for the title.
Here we go.
Let's go through. Oh, wait for the rest of the plot. Where's the finish? Where's the big finish?
Well,
is there a love story?
We're going to talk to Michael Bay about that.
Yeah. Is there a love story to it?
Oh, absolutely. Of course. There's a whole arch of characters because the monkeys and midgets, as we know, don't get along.
I know. We know that.
At the end, maybe like this one brute kind of monkey midget guy, they get together, they have children, or whatever you want. I have no artistic integrity.
Okay.
He's pitching, man. He's going with what everyone suggests.
Hey, look, you want a new world monkeys? I'm giving you new world order monkeys.
Okay.
And the title of this masterpiece.
Oh, I'm ready. Okay. Clear your throat. Give it to us right.
That is in the Jill Jet.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
The Monkey Midget Brigade.
The Monkey Midget Brigade. I think you need to flesh it out a little more. There was a lot of places where you said this is going to be funny. But you didn't actually show us. You were telling us and not showing us. But is there any chance? I'm just taking the pitch. You go in for a pitch and they say stuff like this. They go, "That's a great idea." If this is a real pitch, that's what the guy would say. "That's a great idea." Does it have to be monkeys and midgets? That's what they would say if you went in, and you'd say,
"Can we get Jane Fonda?"
And they would make it an Adam Sandler vehicle. They really would.
Yeah.
They would say, "Can we get a bigger car and make Adam Sandler look like a midget?"
Now, with all due respect, I am talking to you at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Clearly, I don't have a job.
Yes, that is true.
They want to cut me a check.
Okay, man. Well, we'll think about it and get back to you.
Happy Meals, Penn. Happy Meals. I'm talking here.
That's the final pitch.
He is a genius.
Because hasn't there just been a break between Disney and McDonald's?
Yeah,
they're not using the Disney stuff anymore. So this is the Carpe French Fry deal. This is
you know what? The other thing I think you need to do if you're going to sell a movie to Disney is you should place it on Tom Sawyer Island so that they can upgrade it into a new ride. Because I think that's how they're choosing movies now.
Oh, that's right. Because it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
You can upsell it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can just say, and what happens is the next war after Iraq is fought on Tom Sawyer Island with monkeys and midgets. There's a lot of places you could go with this. It's a really great thing.
That's what I'm telling you. It could be a series.
Yeah, the spinoff on TV.
Got cartoons.
Cartoons, sure.
It'd be like Hogan's Heroes with chips.
Hogan's Heroes with chimps.
That's a pitch.
That's the idea.
I'm done.
Yeah, you're done.
Write me the check. Hogan's Heroes with chimps.
Four words. Four words, and you're a billionaire. And on top of that, Spelling just died. So they need a super executive producer. And I think Godot and Steve, you should go off and work this thing out, pound it off. And I'll just keep doing the stupid stuff that I do. That's not going anywhere financially. But you guys are going to be rich, rich, fabulously wealthy. No doubt about it.
That's my job. I'll ride the funny in.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Man, that's a great call.
I
love Steve.
Great call. He's great. He's great. We'll have to.
He's my new business partner.
Yeah, of course he is. Of course he is. He's got to be. He should be everyone's business partner. Monkeys and chimps. And you notice the way he built the excitement without saying anything? He was made for Hollywood. He had nothing but a title. And yet he got all excited. And I don't understand why we start in World War II because the Japanese send us small cars,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And we don't want to waste that money. And then it goes to Vietnam because he wants them in the jungle, I guess. Or to make it more topical. Or maybe there's, you know, desert monkeys.
He just likes that helicopter edit.
Yeah, that's all he likes. We're going
to
be back
cheaper
after
to
this.
Shoot. It's cheaper to shoot
this
there
time,
than Europe.
What's that?
It's cheaper to shoot there than Europe.
Exactly. This is Ben Gillette with Michael Godot on this 4th of July. Take us into break, Mike Jones.
WHFS. All right. Quit your bitching already. Now you can listen to 105.7 HFS anywhere, anytime. If you've got a computer, you've got HFS. Just go to WHFS.com and click on Listen Live. Tell everyone on your buddy list. HFS is plugged in and online at last. 105.7 HFS. Free FM. I hear this music? Yeah, it's taking the place of those commercials. Hang on. 105.7 HFS will return shortly. HFS will be back in a bit.
Now, if you post your resume on Monster.com, you're twice as likely to land the job you're looking for. Think about it. Every day, thousands of employers search Monster.com looking for talented, qualified people just like you. But the only way they're ever going to know you're out there is if you post your resume on Monster. So post it today and you'll double your chances of finding the right job. Or better yet, having the right job find you. It's like raising your hand and saying, hey, pick me. Plus, with helpful tips and advice on everything from making the right impression during an interview to successful networking techniques, Monster.com is more than just a job site. It's your one-stop career resource center. So if you want to double your chances of finding the job that's right for you, go to Monster.com, post your resume, and get the job. Monster.com. Today's the day. Based on Comscore Networks Incorporated Custom Research 1005, showing that Monster users who posted a resume were twice as likely to get a job offer than Monster users who didn't post.
Don't freak out. We're just covering up the commercials. 105.7 HFS will be back in a bit. Everyone else is hearing commercials. Here's something to dance to. Stick around. 105.7 HFS is on its way back.
Attention car and truck holiday shoppers. Don't miss the Swanson Automotive 4th of July Week Sale-a-thon. That's right, Baltimore. You get the guaranteed lowest price at Swanson Pontiac GMC on Ritchie Highway in Glen Burnie. Or Swanson will give you $1,000. During this incredible savings event, you can own an 06 Pontiac G6, equipped, not stripped, for just $15,978 and get 36 highway miles per gallon. Or get an 06 Vibe for just $14,980. Go trucking at Swanson with a Sierra full-size pickup for only $13,795, or choose any 06 Denali in stock and save $12,000, or get 0% GMAC approved financing for 72 months. So save big with Swanson's guaranteed lowest price during the huge 4th of July Week Sale-a-thon at Swanson Automotive Pontiac GMC.
Because nobody deals
like her. That's a Hail to Monkey Tuesday.
I have Christmas carols on Monkey Tuesday.
Oh, that was so good. So, so good. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette and Mike Goudeau on the happiest day of our life. We'll dare kids to fireworks tonight. I'm going to watch some NASCAR this afternoon. And we have got monkeys, and patriotism. Two of my favorite things. I love
Let's barbecue something.
Yeah, barbecue a monkey. Wouldn't be the right thing to do. Barbecue a monkey. We got some more Gmails and a couple more calls coming in. We'll get to those in a moment. But hello, Penn and Goudeau. I love your show. Listen to it every day on the podcast. Apparently, this is good, vervets, is that a kind of monkey?
Yeah.
Okay. We should know a lot more about monkeys to do this, I think.
You think?
Apparently, vervets are a kind of monkey with white fur and red and blue genitals. According to the website that linked this, you should see it, salute. So there even is a patriotic monkey.
There is just genetically a patriotic monkey.
Yeah, patriotic. You know, because God loves the USA.
Well, mandrills too.
Yeah, mandrills. God loves the USA so much that he made his monkeys patriotic. Of course, he would have to.
You sure they're not French?
Hey, shut up. That's my answer to that. Shut up. Let's take a phone call. Let's take Greg. How you doing, Greg?
Super Pen. Happy 4th. God bless America.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, man. Lay it on us. What you got?
Okay, I got a real-life, palpable, patriotic monkey joke.
Okay.
Allegedly, in the Pacific War during World War II, when our guys were kicking the Japanese back across the Pacific, I don't know if it was Marines or Army, but in the jungle situation, they actually trained the monkeys to go up in the trees and throw coconuts at the Japanese snipers, and when they see where the coconut would hit, the whole squad would empty their weapons in the tree, and guess what? It worked like a charm.
Well, charms don't work at all, but I'll skip over that. This is true? This isn't something you made up?
No, I remember reading this. I don't have exact situation where.
Now I'm going to have to look this
up. Yeah, look that up. Do a search on that. But you say that they trained them. Now, why wouldn't, where is this? This is in Japan or in the islands?
No, this is as we were island hopping across the Pacific after they kicked our butts at Pearl Harbor. We had all those different battles. Tarawa, Iwo Jima, Okinawa. And the Marines got smart enough because the snipers were taking a large toll on our boys.
Sure.
They probably gave the monkeys either dope or sea rations and train them to go up in the trees and throw the coconuts at where the Japanese snipers were hiding.
So they were able to think of that when the Japanese snipers could not think of that, huh?
Isn't that amazing? I would think they'd shoot more monkeys than our guys after a while.
Yeah, I would think so. And train them to throw coconuts, huh? Of course, what bothers me about this, Greg, is that you keep using that phrase, I remember reading this somewhere. And that always scares me, you know? It always scares me. But you believe this story you're telling, right?
Yeah, monkeys are very smart. And our guys were tricky back then. They knew all kinds of stuff to deal with that. That was a tough situation.
Yeah, that is a tough situation.
And you know what? A good monkey that could throw a coconut well, a couple of Thompson submachine guns, and maybe some Garands, you got a singing group right there.
Did you find anything on the web?
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet. Well, we'll keep looking. We'll keep looking on the web for that, Greg. Thank you so much.
Hey, leave it to the USGI to figure out a way around any problem.
Absolutely right,
our
man.
Boys
thank
are the
you
best.
So much. Thanks a lot, man.
You know, Steve has got to be so happy to have heard that.
Yeah.
That is totally in the movie now.
That goes directly into his movie. I think that the major problem Steve's going to have is cutting it down to, like, you know, 2 hours. I think he has an opus here on his hands.
The director's cut DVD will be available as a 6-hour movie.
Yeah. Steve, he should have given us a budget. He didn't give us a budget, did he? Because maybe it's worth making anyway. Maybe we'll have Steve. Maybe Steve will call in again or write to us or something. We'll give us a budget on that.
Claymation. Maybe we can do it in claymation.
Because I made the Aristocrats totally on my own. That was no studio beyond that.
Right.
If you can keep it at the budget of the Aristocrats, maybe.
Keep it at the budget of the Aristocrats.
Maybe we could make, what do you call it? Monkeys and Midgets Division? No.
Brigade.
The Monkey and Midget Brigade.
Yeah.
But you had Hogan's Heroes with monkeys.
Yeah, I know. I'm already rich.
That's a great idea.
That check will be showing up any day now.
No, I think that the American people would love to see a show with all monkeys on
TV. Well, Lance Link.
Yeah, but I mean, that was a long time ago.
The DVDs just came out, though. It's just out on DVD a couple weeks ago.
I was going to finish this by saying, you know, I think the American people would love it, but I think your animal rights groups would stop you from doing anything like that. Because, you know, we did the show, the Bulls hit show on PETA. They're not, even if the animals are treated perfectly and that everybody's really happy, they believe there's a lack of respect there. They don't think you're supposed to laugh at animals. Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, that was part of their whole thing.
Yeah.
And they have a lot
of
muscle.
No pets is part of their thing, though.
Yeah. PETA has a lot of muscle.
People are not paying attention to PETA.
I don't know. They have a lot of muscle. They really do. There's still people that
because
donate.
I don't think they make it public that they don't want pets.
Right.
Poodles will die off in this generation. This will be the last generation of poodles if PETA wins.
Last generation. We should get billboards and say PETA wants this to be the last generation of poodle. Right? No more poodles they want. Let me see if we got a lot of the Gmails are flowing in. This is one from Ed for the 4th of July. My father was on a submarine, the USS Lamprey, in World War II. You're laughing because you've already read this one. Right?
Yeah, I wish I could have gotten him to call in. I tried to contact him.
Yeah, okay. During shore leave one weekend, he and his crazy sailor buddies thought it would be fun to have a monkey on the sub as they set out for sea.
That's good thinking there.
On a submarine? You bring on a monkey?
Yeah, I want 100 guys, a can that we cannot possibly escape from, and a monkey.
Oh, man. He's 80 now. I guess he means it's not a clear antecedent, but he must mean his father and not the monkey. He's 80 now, and every time he tells the story, I still pee in my pants. It seems that the monkey started ripping the submarine apart, tearing up their bunks, crapping all over the place, and being generally uncontrollable. So as my father tells us several times a year, after three days, we threw that monkey overboard. He tells the story so matter-of-factly that it makes it so much funnier. I guess I blew that by laughing during it. But I have the enduring vision of a sailor taking the monkey by the scruff of the neck and just above his ass and giving him the heave-ho off the side of his ship, screaming that monkey scream as he plunged into the ocean. Funny as hell. Happy 4th of July, and God bless our soldiers and sailors everywhere. That's from Ed the Ox. I believe that story. I'm still not quite believing of the coconuts being thrown at Japanese snipers. I want to believe it so badly. I want to believe it so badly, you know. And that's why I, that's the that's the rumors that I question the most, the ones I really, really want to believe, you know? Like the one about, you know, what's his name from Scientology? Who's the head of Scientology?
L. Ron Hubbard
talking to science fiction guys and saying the way to really do this is to, the way to really make money and use science fiction is to create a religion and then doing that, you know?
Right.
He always, you know, Harlan Ellison tells that story. And the reason, the only reason I'm skeptical of it, the only reason is that I want to believe it so badly. When you want to believe something really, really badly, you got to watch yourself. Or you can end up like, you know, every other nut that believes what they want to believe. So I want to believe.
The world doesn't quite work that well, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Rarely.
It doesn't work that beautifully that you would have L. Ron Hubbard actually saying it was science fiction to people and that he was going to create an advance, calling his shot, as it were. And you're probably not going to have true that that Marines taught monkeys to throw coconuts at Japanese snipers during World War II.
Some of those guys are around. Maybe one of them will call in.
Yeah, maybe
that'd
that
be
would
good.
Happen.
Or email.
That'd be good. Because we are at our best when we're actually trying hard to get to the bottom of a story. And if that story has to do
the
with
the hard-hitting journalists that we are.
We are. We are the hard-hitting journalists, you know? We work hard to tell the truth on Monkey Tuesday.
Skeptics.
Now, Patrick, now, have we played all, except for the ones we're going to use to go out, have we played all of the Mike Jones themes he did? Are there any that we haven't played?
I thought we played
Battle Hymn, but I'm not sure. Let's just find out if we did on this Monkey Tuesday. What I love about what Jonesy did on those is it really sounds like it's like a virus that takes him over, you know, like he's trying to play like a patriotic 4th of July thing for solo piano at like a nursing home or something. And then something in him, some evil monkey gene, like comes to fruition and takes over part of his brain and makes him play the theme. I think that's what I really, really like about that.
Viral, you know? Monkey theme.
Is it the viral monkey theme? And I would like to think, and maybe some of the musicians listening to the show will kind of catch on, I think that's a really nice riff. If you could throw that in, you know, there must be some guys, especially
guys.
We
get Dylan to get that in.
I don't think Dylan will do it, but guys like in the bar bands in Jersey,
yeah.
You know, I would love to hear someone from a bar band in Jersey. You know, one of those cover bands, those
sure.
Great, the real rock and roll bands.
Because
the real rock and roll bands you've never heard of, you know, the really hip ones. And just throwing that in as a solo would be great. Like when they're doing their cover of Black Dog or something. And just throw it right into the middle, a little riff along with
those guys out in Red Hook will be playing it.
Yeah. A guy, you know, they're doing the Page and Plant cover band or something. And just,
yeah.
You know, throw into that. I think it'd be a really cool thing. One other piece of, I guess, happy news for Monkey Tuesday. Kicking the habit, no monkey business for chain-smoking Chinese chimp.
Our favorite reader or listener sent that to us.
Who's that?
Well, hundreds.
What's that?
Hundreds. Remember the queue?
Oh, our favorite one. Yeah, our favorite listener sent this in. Ziku, is that how you pronounce X-I-K-U?
Yeah.
Ziku. Ziku, the chain-smoking chimpanzee, has almost kicked his deadly habit thanks to the efforts of zookeepers in China. We won't even let that Freudian slip just go by, okay? Zookeepers in China, but it has taken a beer or two to help him get through detox.
And what could be more American on this 4th of July?
Nothing could be more American than cigarettes and beer and a monkey. Ziku became addicted to smoking while mimicking the habits of humans during career as a circus performer. The state-run Xinhua news agency said Friday. By the time he was sent to the zoo in... I shouldn't be reading these. The capital of China's northwest, some other place. In 2002, Ziku was already smoking 10 cigarettes a day. He's now down to 4, and they throw him cigarettes. They give him beer to get over the cigarette habit.
Beer and sunflower seeds.
Beer and sunflower seeds.
It's like
seeds.
A baseball game. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. That's Michael Goudeau and Penn Jillette on the greatest day of our life, this Monkey Tuesday, July 4th. A patriotic Monkey Tuesday. Quite seriously, it's a great country. What else can I get to say? I was going to do a whole little speech, but it's a great country where we can love each other, love our country, and laugh at monkeys. We'll be back tomorrow.